Hello, friends, and welcome to Everyday Truth with Kurt Skelly. We're here to show that the Bible is relevant to your life every single day, and we're glad you joined us here for the conversation. We're studying the book of Romans and learning how the power of the gospel impacts every part of our lives. Now, let's join Kurt for today's episode.
Hey, friends, welcome back. Looking forward to talking about spiritual gifts today. And I know some of you are thinking, oh, Kurt, I don't have any gifts, but that is not true. You certainly do. Some gifts are more subtle than others. Some are more demonstrative than others, but all gifts are important, and all gifts have been sovereignly and graciously given by God. So look at Romans chapter 12 and verse number 5. So we've talked about yielding our bodies, we've talked about renewing our minds, we've talked about exercising humility, we've talked about the concept of understanding that we're in a body, and in that body of Christ, we have different functions, and while we're all part of the same body, and we all respond to the same living head, brain, Jesus, we have very different gifts, and we have been designed differently. And the Apostle Paul gives us seven different ways by which believers have been gifted. Now, is Romans chapter 12 the only listing of spiritual gifts? And the answer is no. We find other lists that are a bit different, or maybe even a bit more extensive, or in some places a little bit more general. For instance, 1 Peter chapter 4 is more general. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 is more specific. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, we see speaking gifts and serving gifts and then sign gifts. That's a whole different Bible study. But here in Romans 12, I love this passage because it really helps us to understand in a comprehensive way how God functions through people in local churches symbiotically. So when you think about the word symbiotic, sym, S-Y-M, means together. It's a prefix that means together. Like sympathy, patheo, means to feel together, to feel with. And so symbiotic, bios, life, means to live life together or life mutually beneficial. So something in nature that is symbiotic is when you have two separate things that are mutually beneficial. So you see those birds that are on the top of a rhino's head, right? And they're pecking off the insects on that rhino hide. And they also fly when there's danger afar off because they have good eyesight. Well, rhinos don't have good eyesight. So rhinos provide food for the bird because of the insects on the skin, but the bird provides protection for the rhino because it's an early alarm system. And so it's symbiotic as opposed to a parasitic relationship. A parasite is that which feeds off of its host to the detriment of the host. Like if you have a tapeworm, right? That's not helping you. It's hurting you, but it's helping the tapeworm. Or like a mosquito is a parasite. So in that sense, so symbiosis, we ought to be living in symbiosis when it comes to our local churches, when it comes to our relationships with other believers. So God has given you at the moment of your salvation, a spiritual gift. So that in that giftedness and the exercise of that spiritual gift, you can be a blessing and a help to other people, and they are a blessing and a help to you. So what are some of these spiritual gifts, and is it possible for me, for you, to ascertain what your spiritual gift might be? And the answer is yes and yes. So look at verse number 5. So we, being many, are one body in Christ, and everyone members one of another. Sometimes you'll talk about church membership. What is church membership? Is church membership, I put my name on a roll somewhere, and now I'm part of the club? kind of like I joined Planet Fitness or joined the golf club down the road. No, it's much different than that. Membership, properly defined, is an understanding that we now have an interconnectedness and therefore a responsibility to serve the people with whom we are in membership. So we are members, watch this, one of another. So there's this union that we have in Christ. That's a deep thought. Now look at verse number 6. Having then gifts differing. So the very first thing the Apostle Paul points out when he talks about our giftedness is that we're different. We are different from each other. And I think a danger sometimes in Christian circles is to expect that everyone is going to think the same, to expect that everyone's going to have the same gifts or function in the same way, almost like a cookie cutter approach to how Christians ought to behave and how they ought to serve. The fact is, God has made us different. The difference that the Apostle Paul is highlighting in verse number 6 is a difference that God has created. He's made us different. So we tend to think in terms of our spiritual gift. In fact, I often teach this to our new members class here at Faith, and that is a good way to recognize what your spiritual gift is by how you react to situations, because we can plan our actions, but it's harder to plan your reaction. And a lot of times the way you react to situations in a group setting indicates to me what your spiritual gift is. Now, I'll come back to that at the end of verse number 8, which probably won't be today, but remind me to come back to how your spiritual gift how your reactions many times demonstrate what your spiritual gift is. Okay, so before I can answer that question, we got to find out what are the spiritual gifts and how can I understand them and which one do I have? So look at verse number 6 again. So having then gifts differing according to the grace, the gift that is given to us. And then here's the first one. Ready? Whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith. So what is the gift of prophecy? Is the gift of prophecy some kind of mystical gift that God gives certain people where they can tell the future? Like prophecy, like here's what's going to happen to you in 5 days. Or God has given me a word about your life and you're going to get married next year. I mean, believe me, I've met people that feel like they have got that word of knowledge special, I know your future gift, but that's not what this is. Now, the gift of prophecy as a gift in the Bible is a gift not of foretelling, F-O-R-E, like telling ahead of time, but it's the gift of forthtelling, F-O-R-T-H, forthtelling. And what I mean by that is it's the ability to speak clearly and many times even abruptly into a person's life about a danger or a direction in their life. It's a person that sees clearly. Okay, a good way to understand a prophecy is to understand its kind of its subtle partner, which is discernment. Discernment, like the ability to say, you know, I really don't think you ought to take that job, and here's why. You know, you have struggles in your life with pleasing people, and that job would put you in a compromised position. I can see that being very dangerous for you because of the people that you'd be associating with. Therefore, prophets speak that way. They can take biblical principles. They can apply them to individual people's lives and speak in a black and white way. That's why prophets oftentimes are prickly people, because they see things clearly, they see things black and white, they have the boldness to speak their mind, and they say it. Now, what would happen if every single person in your church had the gift of prophecy? Well, you'd have a splintered church because everybody would be telling everybody else, you know, here's what you need to do and here's what, and bless God. And that would be an interesting situation. Get a bunch of prophets together. Understand this, prophecy is a needed gift in the local church. And we all need people to speak bluntly, definitively, and biblically into our lives. Pastors that are prophets are those that speak clearly, definitively, black and white. They don't take a whole lot of time necessarily to explain all the reasons why I'm telling you this. They don't necessarily spend a whole lot of time encouraging you in a upbeat, comforting way, but they're just, they tell it like it is. That's a prophet. Maybe you've been given that gift. If you've been given that gift, then watch the warning. And that is, we prophesy according to the proportion of faith. Faith in what? Because faith must always have an object. Well, in the original here, it says the faith. So the point here is that a prophet needs to make sure that what he is saying is based upon the word of God. Why? Because when I have the gift of prophecy, I just kind of see, no, you shouldn't do that. You shouldn't go there. You shouldn't wear that. You shouldn't say that. You shouldn't. And in some cases, that's probably true. In fact, in many cases, it probably is. But the guard that a prophet must have in his life is, but make sure that's biblical. Make sure that what you're saying aligns with Scripture. Make sure you're not just running roughshod over people's lives, giving your opinion and couching it as if it were the Word of God, because that's where error can so quickly creep in. And so just make sure, as a prophet who is more than willing to speak his mind and can very often clearly see through a situation to say, this is the course, just make sure, prophet, that you are guarded and guided by the Word of God. Can we do one more? I think we have time. Verse number 7, the second one, or ministry. And the word ministry here is the word from which we get our word for deacon. It means one's service, serving others. So, or ministry, let us wait on our ministering. So, what is the gift of ministry? The gift of ministry is a gift that God gives certain people just to be able to be predisposed to serving. For instance, you know, at our church in Pennsylvania, we had a gymnatorium, which meant we always had to be setting up chairs. We always had to be stacking chairs after our service to get the gym ready for a basketball game or whatever. And a person with the gift of ministry is a person that doesn't necessarily even need to be told, hey, jump in, help out. He's the person that just finds himself automatically, oh, there's a job to be done, I'm jumping in. Oh, people are beginning to work on that, let me work too. I'm behind the scenes, it's not a speaking gift, I don't want to necessarily speak into other people's lives, I'm not a counselor, but I love to work in the church kitchen, and I love to volunteer in the church nursery, and I love to be the one that comes out to the church work day, and give me a tool, and give me a job, and give me a time frame, and I'm there. Now, does that mean that people that don't have the gift of ministry should sit around and watch everyone else work? Of course not. It just means that God, in his providence, has predisposed, by way of giftedness, some people just to have the gift of serving. In fact, I'll say this in closing today. All of these spiritual gifts ought to be ideals for every believer. So the older you get in the Lord, the more you ought to be working on all of these. You know, we all ought to be teachers. We all ought to be ministers. We all ought to be givers. And we all ought to be prophets in the sense of speaking into people's lives, the word of God. We ought to be all of these things. But what the Bible is teaching is that God has wired you supernaturally in one of these areas immediately. So he got to jumpstart you to be immediately valuable in the body of Christ. But the older you get in the Lord, like my good friend, Dr. Don Sisk, you know, I would say, well, what gift does he have? All of them. But he really doesn't. But the older you get in the Lord, the harder it ought to be for people to detect your spiritual gifts because you have grown in grace in all of these areas. I hope that makes sense. So we've talked about the gift of prophecy and we've talked about the gift of serving. Let's come back to verse number 7 next episode and we'll talk about the gift of teaching. Hope you'll stay with us. God bless you, my friends.
Thanks for taking time to listen. If you enjoy Everyday Truth, take a moment to subscribe or share the podcast with a friend. Until next time, God bless.